live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Thank you for watching or listening to this free podcast of the Young Turks. We want to make sure that you get some portion of the show every day. But if you want the full show, which is actually 5 segments, come become a member and support independent media as well. TYTnetwork.com/join. Meanwhile, enjoy the free podcast. All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Big show ahead, roller coaster ride as usual. We got a lot of Kennedy and Kavanaugh drama. I've got some of that for you in the first segment and some of the second segment later in the program. Unfortunately, white nationalists are at it again. And there's been some assaults. And now they're also questioning women who don't have the last name as their husbands. Okay, that's the America we live in today. But luckily, we're going to fix it. I'm going to tell you about how we're going to fix it as well. By the way, we're going to have a super fun post game. So yes, the news is the news, and some is good and some is bad. But in the post game, we're going to have nothing but fun, including dun 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 dun. Okay, that's for the members, where we just relax and let our whatever little hair we have down. TYT.com/join and become a member. Okay, let me get started. Let's go over here. So everybody knows that Wolfpack is fighting to get money out of politics. We believe that the best way to do that is to do a convention. And that is because Congress is very unlikely to propose an amendment unless they are pressured. So we go state to state, and I've got some good news and some bad news for you guys today. As usual, a roller coaster ride. We start in Massachusetts, where we start with a terrific news. We had our sponsor, Senator Jamie Eldridge, doing a fantastic job. And I always like to give credit to people who are helpful and to state senators and reps who are American heroes looking to get money out of politics. Yes, there are good representatives in the world. And we did something we'd never done before in Massachusetts. And with the help of other groups that I'm going to tell you about, we got through 2 different committees. Man, everything's great. We're in good shape, right? More good news. We had more co-sponsors than we needed for a majority in the Senate. We're definitely going to pass this thing. Have you seen this movie before? Well, here comes Common Cause. So this is the group that claims to be progressive. They even say on our website that they're looking to get money out of politics. That's funny and tragic, because no one fights us harder to keep money in politics. Maybe they think that that's not their intent, but they are fighting against all conventions, including one to get money out of politics. You want to fight against a convention to get to stop a balanced budget amendment? Great. I don't want a balanced budget amendment. That's a conservative idea. I don't agree with it, right? Why are you fighting our convention to get money out of politics? They fight us harder than the Koch brothers. They fight us harder than anyone else. And unfortunately, they have excellent lobbyists. So all of our volunteers work again in the state of Massachusetts, and not just Wolfpack, but other groups as well. Flush down, because they went and talked to Senator Eric Lesser, and he was a co-sponsor. He was in. And they're like, oh, watch out, Eric. No, conventions are scary. They lead to real change. Don't do it. Don't do it. So they turn and they gut the bill. They take the convention out of it. So now Massachusetts has asked for the second time for Congress to pretty please propose this amendment to get money out of politics. How's that working out? Have they proposed it yet? You asked them once before. Oh, right. That's the same national Congress that is deeply corrupt, that got their power through this corrupt system. And lo and behold, it turns out they're not going to voluntarily change it. Shocking. But I'm so glad you asked them pretty please one more time. I bet that works. No, you call for a convention, you put pressure on them. Now, Common Cause says the professional way to do things is to use lobbyists and gentlemanly kill your bill in the middle of the night. They say that our volunteers are too aggressive. All right, so I'm going to show you one of our volunteers who worked in Massachusetts. His name is Guy O'Donnell. He's a regular citizen, as you're going to see, just like one of you guys. He actually cared a lot about getting money out of politics. didn't work in politics before, ever, and but he just was a good American citizen and wanted to help. So here's his story of how things went down in Massachusetts.
My name is Guy O'Donnell. I am a volunteer for Wolfpack here in Holyoke, Massachusetts. I've been involved with Wolfpack for over 4 years now. Last session, I was state director. So this year, we got pretty far. We got to a Senate vote, which is a lot further than we got last session. But for the Senate vote, we had a senator introduce an amendment that gutted the bill, basically taking out the call for an Article 5 convention. This was a senator that I was close to. I've canvassed for his reelection campaign. I've talked with him many times about this. He was on board with this bill for the last couple years at least. And then within a couple days of the vote, he decided to introduce this amendment, taking out the Article 5 convention because he was just terrified of the Article 5 convention all of a sudden. It was really discouraging. It kind of hurt. I've put a lot of work into this, thousands of hours and a lot of my own resources as well. And to have it go down that way, where a senator that I know and like was the one that really brought down the bill, wasn't great. I'm a little heartbroken, but hopeful for next session.
Okay, I love that guy. And I love all our volunteers in Massachusetts and Maryland and New Mexico and Hawaii and all the places that fought for years and years to have a common cause lobbyist come in and whisper sweet nothings into the ears of the senators. Oh, don't do a convention. That's real change. You might actually get money out of politics. Don't do it. Now, look, it's not personal. The guys at Common Cause, I'm sure they're pleasant people if you met them in the real world. And the senators who vote the wrong way, they're not, most of the times they're not bad people. But it doesn't help. You're still doing the wrong thing. And so there's got to be consequences. And what I mean by that, and let me be super clear, is we help our friends and we defeat the people who are against us. That's the whole point of the organization. That's kind of how politics works. So for example, we put $50,000 into Antonio Hayes' campaign in Maryland. That's a lot of money for a state Senate election. You know why? Because he has voted to get money out of politics. He's voted for the free and fair elections resolution. He's a good guy. Senator Jamie Eldridge, that I just told you about in Massachusetts, wonderful guy, proposed this and fought for it. A lot of great senators in Massachusetts who gave rousing speeches about how we gotta get money out of politics and voted the right way. But then, of course, it takes is usually one, like a committee head or a head of the Senate, head of the House, etc. And they talk to a lobbyist, and all of a sudden, hey, what could I do? Well, here's what you could do. You could lose your next election. Ask Representative Valancourt, who voted against us in New Hampshire. Incumbent since the 1990s, gone. The person who voted against us, that ran against Antonio Hayes, she lost by 30 points, gone. And for our friends, we got nothing but love for you. And so we are going to get this money out of politics one way or another. And Common Cause thinks they're really, really clever, but I don't think they are. And I think that united, we will be able to get past this issue as well. They say, well, if you do a convention, they can propose any amendment. First of all, they've lost on all of the facts. They used to say, well, they could take your convention idea and put it together with a conservative convention idea. Well, all you need is 34 states to call for a convention. And right now, Congress has counted more than 34 states. They cannot put them together. So now you're being gratuitous. Now you're attacking conventions that would get money out of politics. Why? Because you want to? Because you're already wrong on the facts. I debated them at a conference recently. We put that up on online. I'll give you where you could find it in a minute. And now they don't make that point anymore because it's not true. You cannot combine two different issues to have a convention. You can't put a conservative one and a progressive one. And by the way, getting money out of politics is not purely progressive. It's bipartisan. 93% of Americans agree. And the second part is, they say, well, anything could happen at a convention. That's just not true. All that could happen at a convention is you could propose an amendment, like Congress can propose an amendment. At the end of the convention, Then you have to ratify. You have to have 3/4 of the states, 38 states ratify. And you can't have anything ratified if it's really liberal or really conservative. Just keep it real. There's too many red states, too many blue states. The only thing you can ratify is one that we all agree on, getting money out of politics. But they won't let us do it through the states. And it's, look, it common cause is the main people who do it. But why? Because they have the Democratic Party leaders come to them and go, Nancy Pelosi hates this idea. All the Democratic leaders hate this idea. They go, oh, no, 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 no. That would give power to the people. Then they could propose an amendment on their own without us.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, you must unlearn what you have learned. And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Goddamn right! That's exactly what we want to do. You take power back. It's supposed to be a democracy. The Democratic Party hates this. And so when Common Cause says that the leadership and Pelosi and Schumer don't like it, she's right, because they want to keep their power. When they asked Nancy Pelosi, hey, what is the reason why you should be the leader of the Democrats in the House? She said, I raise the most money. So if you take money out of politics, there's no reason why Nancy Pelosi should be leader. So of course she clings on to power, and so do all the corrupt leaders of the Democratic Party. And I got to hand it to them, when they want to fight, it turns out they can fight. They never want to fight Republicans. I mean, they'll lay down again on the Supreme Court and on every other issue. But when it comes to fighting real progressives, oh, they're like, oh, wait a minute, this is about my power. So then they mount up and they get every lobbyist and they get their common cause guys. Unfortunately, I believe we're going to change all these minds and these hearts, and we're going to do it one way or another, okay? But our good friends in the unions, a lot of them are on the wrong side. Well, I give money to politicians too. Yes, but I don't know if you know this, corporations have a lot more money than you. So keep on losing and see how that turns out for you. So if you want to find out more, let me give you some resources. Literally, wolf-pack.com/resources tells you everything you need to know about a convention so that you could fight back against the propaganda of the powerful, the elite, the establishment, common cause, groups pretending to be progressive but keeping money in politics. And if you want to see my debate with a representative of common cause from New Mexico, we just recently had it at a convention put together by American Promise. I really appreciate that they had that public debate, and I appreciate Common Cause showing up to that debate. You can watch it yourself. It's on youtube.com/TYT, but it's also on wolf-pack.com/Howl. It's their daily blog for Wolfpack. And just check out the video for yourself and see who you think is right, okay? Make up your own mind. It's unedited. You watch the whole video, see for yourself, okay? We have the facts on our side. Almost every single group, where it's the Justice Department, the American Bar Association, Congressional Research Service, every single one of them says you cannot combine issues. It must be on a single issue. So when groups on the left fight conventions on the issue of getting money out of politics, it is not because of anything related to do with conservatives or fighting the right wing. It's just simply not true. It's not remotely true. And now they know it, but they keep saying it anyway. And then when I say, hey, I question if you really want to get money out of politics, they're like, oh, how dare you? I beseech you to stop. Why? What are you doing? literally no other group. We defeated the Koch brothers in New Jersey when we passed it. That was actually relatively easy. But when the Democrats come, man, the Democratic legislators, a lot of times they run for the hills. And that is hard. So if we need to fight the Democrats, damn right we will. You want to fight the Republicans? Damn right we will. We're going to fight anyone in our path. And we're going to do it the right way. We're going to do it through politics. We're going to do it through our Constitution. And we're going to win. Now, good news. We're not alone. There's a lot of great groups that want to work on this. And we proposed the unity letter at that same conference I was telling you about that American Promise put together. And a lot of wonderful groups who want to get money out of politics have signed on to it. You can read the letter for yourself at wolf-pack.com/unity. And you know what it says? It says, I know it's a radical idea. We should try every avenue to get money out of politics. Can you believe that they actually disagree with that? They said, no, don't do the one that's actually most effective. Do you know that half the amendments to the Constitution have been passed because there was pressure from an Article 5 convention? The Congress, 17th Amendment is the best example. Direct election of senators. Hey, why would the senators want to change a system where they just get picked by the state guys? It led to incredible corruption, but that's how they got into power. They didn't want to do that. A couple of states away from calling a convention, and all of a sudden the senators are like, oh yeah, we meant direct election. Conventions put pressure on Congress, then maybe even Congress could propose it. But the Democratic leadership goes, no, I don't want that. I might lose my power. Republican leadership at the national level says, I don't want that. I might lose my power. And Common Cause says, how can I help you maintain your power and not get any change at all? Anyway, but look, now let me move on to the good guys. So who signed the unity letter saying, yes, we should pursue every single path? Wolfpack, of course, initiated the letter, and they did a wonderful job with that. But let me talk to you about the other groups that are involved. Then you had American Promise. Look, they brought these folks together in the first place at the conference that I went to recently. They did a wonderful job with that, and they believe in all paths. And they have helped us in different states. Understand there are wonderful, wonderful groups out there that are fighting for the right things, led by Jeff Clements and Ben Gubitz for American Promise. And then Represent Us, another conference I went to, another great group that works on every single different path, led by Josh Silver. These are great groups. This is real unity. The Stamp Stampede, that is led by Ben Cohen. Yes, from Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream, that Ben Cohen. Great American patriot. He's willing to do anything and everything to get money out of politics. He could be on a beach somewhere eating his own ice cream. No, he's in the middle of the fight. He's like Guy O'Donnell, the volunteer you just saw. He's like all of you guys who are fighting. They're standing a post and saying, I'm ready to do anything and everything to make sure that we reclaim our democracy. Then you've got Take Back Our Republic. That's actually a conservative group. So when we say that Wolfpack is nonpartisan, we're not joking, okay? That's a group led by John Putner. He's a conservative. He's the one that got Eric Cantor thrown out of office, okay? Now that's grassroots. And you know what? They also don't like corruption. They also don't like crony capitalism. Are there corrupt Republican politicians who like money in politics and who like that we don't have a free and fair elections, that we have rigged elections? Yes, of course. Are there Democrats who think the same thing? Yes, of course. But there are also good conservatives willing to fight alongside good progressives on this issue. We get our democracy back, then we can go back to fighting on the other stuff through an actual system of government that represents the people. And then you got PCCC. Look at that, man. Conservative groups next to incredibly progressive groups like PCCC, led by Adam Green, Stephanie Taylor. And they are real fighters for change, boldprogressives.org. They're a wonderful group. And then you've got the local groups, Get Money Out of Maryland, GMOM. It's a great, wonderful, enthusiastic, unstoppable group in Maryland. Yes, Get Money Out of Maryland and Wolfpack got defeated by Common Cause lobbyists in Maryland. You think we're not going to come back? No, we're never going to get discouraged. And we're going to keep coming back and back and back until we win. And the main person who got in our way in Maryland, well, I told you about her a minute ago. We spent $50,000 and she doesn't have her seat anymore. So that's one less opponent. And next time we win in Maryland. And in Massachusetts, We the People Massachusetts is a wonderful group. Worked their hearts off in Massachusetts, only to be disappointed in the ways that I explained earlier in the video. So please support all of these groups. There is real unity among progressives and even conservatives who actually believe in our democracy and our Constitution. So let's work together to make that happen. And so if you want any of those links, if you're watching this later on YouTube or Facebook, we'll have all those links down below in the description box. Get in the fight. So let's volunteer, let's participate in every way that we can. And I promise you that we are going to be relentless. We're never gonna give in. We're gonna just double our forces, triple our forces, and we're gonna put it over the top, not just in Maryland and Massachusetts, but also in the red states. Because the American people, they can't stand the establishment. I know the establishment doesn't like to hear that, but they don't like it. We've had 40, 50 years of this system oppressing us, and it hasn't worked. All it does is give everything to the donors. We're gonna change this. We're gonna change it in a democratic way. We're gonna do it the right way. And I promise you that if you get involved, we can't be stopped. We will win, and you're gonna make that happen. Okay, now let me tell you more about unity. I know the establishment has fake unity. We have real unity, okay? Let's go to Hawaii. Wouldn't that be nice? Okay, all right. So I've told you about Kaniela Ng before. I think he's one of the next candidates that are gonna win from the Just Democrats. He is a lot like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, another Just Democrat that won in New York recently in a shocking upset over Joe Crowley. Kaniela right now trailing the polls a little bit, but I've also predicted a shocking upset in that race as well. Why? He's one of the hardest workers you'll ever meet in politics. At the age of 23, he got involved and literally climbed gates in different parts of Hawaii to make sure he got out the vote. He knocked on every door 3 different times in his local area for the state seat that he has right now. Well, he's running for Congress. He's the most progressive. He's totally uncorrupted, no corporate PAC money. So what are we gonna do? We're gonna send in the cavalry. And by the way, you're part of the cavalry. But the person who's going to Hawaii right now as we speak to help Kaniela Ng organize her volunteers is Allison Hartson.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number 1 by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
So Allison not only was the national director of Wolfpack, and Kaniela Ng, by the way, supported that resolution in Hawaii as well, but she ran for Senate in California. She gathered up over 2,000 volunteers. Well, I don't know if you know this, for those of you who didn't see it earlier, she then took those volunteers and went to go help Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez after she lost. So Allison lost. Now, normally, what do career politicians do? They're like, okay, let me scheme and calculate as to what I should do next and what position I should go for. Allison was like, no, let me roll up my sleeves and go help a fellow Justice Democrat. Now, if you're running for the Senate, that's theoretically a bigger position. They'd be like, oh, please, I do declare, I'm not going to do that. No, she's like, I'm going to bring my volunteers and we're gonna help Ocasio-Cortez. She's now taking those volunteers and moving them to Hawaii, and I want you to get involved. This is how we do unity. This is how we get together and win elections. We just showed you how we can win elections with Ocasio-Cortez. We know how to do it. So, but we do need you guys. The answer is, I suspected that this was the case. I told you this was the case. Now we know that it's the case. It's volunteers. It turns out volunteers can beat big money. You got to make enough calls, you got to knock on enough doors. But if you actually reach the voters in the old fashioned way, you actually talk to them. And for the establishment politicians, that's too hard. And they don't have any grassroots energy, so they don't hardly have any volunteers at all. So they're like, we'll do it the easy way. We'll just flood the airwaves with our annoying commercials. But we could actually do it, and we have done it. We did it in the Ocasio-Cortez race. So get involved right now. Okay. So first off, we need to raise money to make sure that those volunteers can be coordinated. The staff needs to coordinate the volunteers. So we literally calculated to the dollar how much you need to make this happen. And so I want to direct you to justicedemocrats.com/Kaniella Ng. And now there's a thermometer up there, and it's a little over $10,000, $10,300 some odd dollars that they calculated they need in staffing, because the election's about a month away. So they need that for a couple of people that they're going to coordinate with and make sure that it's all organized. But they don't need more than that in this case for this story, because the election comes in a month and that's it, it's done. And this is not for the guys who take corporate money. They're like, I do declare $10,000. Please, yeah, have someone send in 10 times as much. But we rely on small donors like you guys. So let's make that happen. Let's do it as we've always done, with individual small donors. And so now the other part of it that's super important is actual volunteering. So go to AllisonHartson.com/now. That's Allison's Army, okay? And you could do it anywhere in the country, because phone calls are monumentally important. And you can do those phone calls from anywhere. So AllisonHartson.com/now to make those calls. We'll have all these links down below. If you're not watching the show live, it's okay on YouTube and Facebook. The links will be in the description box, okay? And if you live in Hawaii, please, that's even more important. You gotta go knock on doors. It makes the biggest impact. And even coming into the office to make calls makes a giant impact. We've already tested this. We know what we're doing. So if you guys volunteer, we put up another victory here, and we shock the world one more time. So let's go do it together right now. Okay, do whatever you can, donate if you can, volunteer if you can, but let's go put up another progressive victory and shock the world. Okay, so now I got a story about Kavanaugh and Kennedy for you guys. All right, let me start over here. Now, Donald Trump picked Brett Kavanaugh to be his next Supreme Court nominee. And Brett Kavanaugh did the standard stuff yesterday. He came out and talked about how he will not let politics affect his decisions. He told an anecdote about his mom, who was a judge and who told him all the right things. And this was part of that anecdote. He said her trademark line was, use your common sense. What rings true, what rings false? That's good advice for a juror and for a son. Aw. Okay, so let's investigate Brett Kavanaugh and find out if he just finds out what's right and what's wrong and doesn't politics. What would he know about politics? No. He's just calling balls and strikes, as John Roberts said, right? Now here's a curious picture of Brett Kavanaugh from earlier days with Karl Rove. Well, it seems like he's enjoying politics at the moment. Well, he worked for Jeb Bush, he worked for George W. Bush, he worked in the White House counsel's office, he worked in selecting nominees for the Bush team. He worked on the 2000 case of Bush v. Gore to make sure that Gore, who won the election, was not seated. And he made an argument to the Supreme Court that they should not count the vote in Florida, and they didn't. They stopped counting. Democracy was defeated, and he got exactly what he wanted. He was involved in Ken Starr's investigation. This guy is deeply political. In fact, he was selected particularly for that reason, because of how political he is. But wait till you get a load of the hypocrisy. Okay, so and what he says about investigating president now and why Donald Trump picked him in the first place. So I've got all that for you. As the Washington Post explains, he was one of Starr's top bulldogs. This is when they were investigating Clinton, obviously. As the independent counsel investigated Clinton and at times advocated internally for an even more aggressive approach against the Democratic president, Kavanaugh was a lead author of the Starr report and has acknowledged writing portions that laid out grounds for impeachment. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you about some of the outrageous questions he wanted to ask Bill Clinton in a second. You're going to enjoy that. But Well, at least he's clear on the record. And hey, Trump better watch himself. This guy says if the president is involved in a scandal, you know, mate, you should deeply investigate him like he did. He was literally part of an investigation of a president. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. It turns out he changed his mind. Isn't that amazing? When he's going after Clinton and he's part of that team, he's like, let's go rip him apart. Then when he joins Bush's team, he's like, oh, I got a new opinion. And he writes about it in a law review article. We should never investigate the president. You're going to say, no, come on, Cenk, that's got to be hyperbole. So let me quote Kavanaugh. He said, I believe that the president should be excused from some of the burdens of ordinary citizenship while serving in office. Well, isn't that nice for him? It almost sounds like you're saying he's above the law. Well, let's find out if you're actually saying that. In particular, Congress might consider a law exempting a president while in office from criminal prosecution and investigation, including from questioning by criminal prosecutors or defense counsel. Ding, 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 ding. We have an answer for why Donald Trump picked Brett Kavanaugh to be his Supreme Court nominee. The guy says you should investigate the president for anything criminal or civil. He's above the law. And conveniently says that when there's a Republican president, while he himself investigated a Democratic president. Is there bigger hypocrisy? But I'm not done yet. Listen to more of his outrageous quotes. He said the indictment and trial of a sitting president, moreover, would cripple the federal government, rendering it unable to function with credibility in either the international or domestic arenas. Such an outcome would ill serve the public interest, especially in times of financial or national security crisis. So when you're nitpicking Bill Clinton, and by the way, that investigation started about Whitewater, it was a real estate deal in Arkansas. They said, oh, he didn't do that at all, our bad. But he slept with someone we didn't agree with, and ha 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 ha. That did not apparently distract the president. That was not a national security crisis. But if anybody wants to investigate Bush or Trump, Kavanaugh says, you better not. That'll distract our beloved dear president. This guy is breaking every record for irony and hypocrisy. He says one might raise at least two more important critiques of these ideas. The first is that no one is above the law in our system of government. And I strongly agree with that principle. But it is not ultimately a persuasive criticism of these suggestions. So, in other words, I'm not persuaded that the president shouldn't be above the law. I think he should be above the law. Okay, this is the guy that they want to be the Supreme Court justice. And if Trump gets into some sort of legal trouble, where's it going to go? It's going to go to the Supreme Court with a guy who's written a law review article saying the president should be exempt from any criminal or civil prosecution. That's unbelievable. He said it, I just read it to you, but he's not done. He said, after reflecting this evening, this is now, okay, hold on, actually. Let me set this up better for you guys. So he said all those things about protecting Republican presidents. But how about when he was part of the Starr report and the Starr investigation? What did he say back then about pursuing Bill Clinton? Now listen to his different tune back then. He said, after reflecting this evening, I am strongly opposed to giving the president any break unless before his questioning on Monday, he either resigns or confesses perjury and issues a public apology to you, Ken Starr. I have tried hard to bend over backwards and be fair to him. In the end, I am convinced that there really are no reasonable defenses. The idea of going easy on him at the questioning is abhorrent to me. Get a load of this guy. If it's a Republican president, don't you dare touch him under any circumstances. I don't care if he committed any crime at all. Well, you can get him later, you know, once he's out of office and no one's paying attention. You know that that'll never happen, right? He says, but if it's a Democratic president, the idea of letting him off the hook for a consensual sexual affair is abhorrent to me. We gotta go get him, and there's no excuses. This goddamn hypocrite. And he's gonna go on the Supreme Court. Wait, I'm not done. So you know what else he said about Clinton? He thought the guy who says that a Republican president should not be touched, and because it might bother him while he's trying to be president, he wrote this question that he wanted Bill Clinton to answer. Look, earmuff the kids, but this is what he wrote. He wanted to ask Clinton, if Monica Lewinsky says that you ejaculated into her mouth on two occasions in the Oval Office area, would she be lying? I'm sorry, now you say you don't want to bother the president? Like, it might be a little bit of a hassle to ask uncomfortable questions of the president. The guy who wrote that question? And then he says, oh, me politics? Oh, I would never. Who is so gullible as to believe that nonsense? They should rip this guy to shreds in the Senate confirmation. They should ask him about that question. So which one is it? And if we put you on the Supreme Court, are you going to say that Donald Trump is above the law? And he will say his nonsense standard answers, no, well, of course no one's beyond the rule of law. Except you wrote that. You wrote that. You said, well, I mean, look, I don't find that persuasive. So which one is it? Okay, let me tell you more. Just when you think it can't get any worse. He was also deeply involved in the exploration of the Clinton White House lawyer Vince Foster's suicide. Oh, great. Which Trump suggested in 2016 might have been a murder. Kavanaugh even appeared before the Supreme Court in a bid to subpoena notes taken by a lawyer whom Foster spoke with shortly before he died. Great. Well, luckily he's not a kook or anything. But the president is also a kook. Look, all right. So he investigated Vince Foster's suicide. Are there any sane Republicans left? All right, anyway, let's keep going. Now, how else did he get the job? Well, he says to Trump basically previously, I'm never going to investigate a president. I won't allow any investigations. He also is an excellent ass kisser. And so last night he said, quote, no president has ever consulted more widely or talked with more people from more backgrounds to seek input about a Supreme Court nomination. First of all, you're supposed to be a guy who just judges the facts. How would you know that? Do you know how many people Eisenhower talked to, or Clinton talked to, or Bush talked to when they were picking Supreme Court justices? How would you know that? What a preposterous, sycophantic thing to say. But hey, he knows, look, here's how you get the job. You're a political hack. You're the hatchet man for the Republicans and for corporations. I'm going to explain that in a second. And then you kiss Donald Trump's ass and you get a job. And that's actually true. And it unfortunately has worked for him so far. And the funny thing is, of course, as usual with any Trump lackey, it's totally false. Now there's reporting out that Justice Kennedy wanted two of his former clerks to be on the court. And guess what? Gorsuch and Kavanaugh are both former Justice Kennedy clerks. And Justice Kennedy decided to step down, and in return, he got two of his clerks onto the Supreme Court. What a wonderful coincidence. But I'm sure that Donald Trump talked to a lot of people, and that was not a deal at all. Okay, I'm sure of that. So now, is he really that conservative? Well, here's this analysis. Based on Kavanaugh's votes in the DC circuit, a political scientist at Emory University calculates that there is a 55% chance that he will be further to the right than Clarence Thomas, and an 81% chance that he will be to the right of Chief Justice John Roberts, and a 12% chance that he will be to the right of Genghis Khan. If you've got a 55% chance of being to the right of Clarence Thomas, I didn't know there was a right to Clarence Thomas. And Clarence Thomas appears to be on the edge of the abyss of the right wing, and Kavanaugh is like, hold my beer, I could do better. I don't know how you go further right, but I guess Kavanaugh is going to show us. Okay, so how did he help corporations? And of course, that's the number one qualifier for the Supreme Court these days. He ruled that the way that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is structured makes it unconstitutional, for instance, and has routinely taken the side of big business in disputes with government. Of course he has, because that's his job, to be a guy who serves his corporate and political overlords. And so, the one thing that would protect consumers from big banks. Oh, sorry. I found protecting consumers to be unconstitutional. On the other hand, he finds it constitutional that corporations are human beings and have all of the constitutional rights that we do, like citizens. That is not absurd to him, but consumers being protected, absurd, unconstitutional. All right, how about privacy? He said, this is a quote from him, the government's metadata collection program is entirely consistent with the Fourth Amendment, where they collect data on you without having probable cause, without any reasonable grounds for a search and seizure. They collect data on all of us. That's why it's called metadata. He's like, yeah, I'm in favor of the plain reading of the Constitution, except the Fourth Amendment. It clearly says you need a warrant. Here's the Fourth Amendment. I rip it up. Who cares? You don't need a warrant from now on. What else would you like, powerful elites? Second Amendment. It says that a well-regulated militia being necessary. The well-regulated militia. I ripped that up. I don't care about plain reading. What do you need? You need guns, I'll give you guns. You need to invade people's privacy, I'll let you invade people's privacy. You need to crush consumers and make the banks more powerful and richer. Brett Kavanaugh is your guy. That's why he was selected. I'm not done yet. So last thing is, so who's gonna back him now? Is there a grassroots movement? Yeah, the Koch brothers with a straight face say they're gonna do a grassroots movement. I'm not kidding. So listen to this. Americans for Prosperity, which is part of the Koch network, announced plans to spend seven figures on paid advertising and quote, grassroots engagement in support of Kavanaugh's confirmation. There is no such thing as spending millions of dollars to do grassroots. Like the grassroots didn't give it, the Koch brothers gave it. They have a combined, I believe, $84 billion, or they have $84 billion apiece. It's some monstrous number. They're both of the Koch brothers in the top 10 richest people in the country. And then they snicker, they're like, we will do, what do you think? Should we say it? Let's say it. A grassroots movement, sending the millions of dollars. We bought a Supreme Court pick. We bought a Supreme Court justice. They're gonna say that corporations are humans. They're gonna say that we have more rights than American citizens. They're gonna say that us giving millions of dollars, including to this justice to make sure that, well, not justice yet, this judge to make sure that he becomes a Supreme Court justice. Well, that looks like bribery, but don't worry, when he's on the Supreme Court, he's gonna say it's not bribery. That when we paid for his seat, that it was perfectly kosher. You know who wrote the Citizens United case? Justice Anthony Kennedy. And you know what he said? He said, all those millions of dollars given to politicians, it doesn't even give the appearance of impropriety. It doesn't even give the appearance of a conflict of interest. Like, who would think that spending millions of dollars buys you something? No, I'm sure that the Koch brothers are doing it out of the goodness of their heart, and they're not alone. Last one, the GOP aligned Judicial Crisis Network, I don't know if they're the ones that create the judicial crisis, I guess that's why they named it that, separately says it will spend $1.4 million on TV ads in the next week touting Kavanaugh in Alabama, Indiana, North Dakota, and West Virginia. That is not a random collection of states, those are states where there are Democratic senators up for re-election and they are red states. In other words, they're saying, hey Democrats, you better surrender, otherwise we're gonna spend a ton of money against you. And remember, money's just speech, and us conservatives and corporations, we need to spend unlimited amount of money bribing people, making sure we defeat you, and then we're gonna use that to put more Supreme Court justices who say that we're allowed to do that, and there's no appearance of any problem at all. Bribery, no, we're just speaking. Now, the Kavanaugh is a total, utter political hack and a tool for these corporations and the rich. Now we're gonna see if the Democrats have the spine to fight back and any wherewithal at all. Can they, you know, they during the Obama years, they kept promising me that they were doing three-dimensional chess. Then we got Trump as president. Man, they couldn't do two-dimensional checkers. But hey, I hope they can. I hope they can. I'm rooting for them. Let's see if you can block Kavanaugh. I want you to do block him under any and all circumstances, just like they did to Obama's pick. But God help us if we're relying on the Democrats to stop this guy. But I want you to know what he's actually about, and that's what he's about. By the way, you want to get money out of politics? Wolf-pack.com, and we end all the bribery, whether it's from corporations, whether it's from any group. I don't care if it's from Bloomberg or Soros or Koch brothers, we end all the bribery. Wolf-pack.com. So, and you say, well, what you can do, go above the Supreme Court? That's exactly what we're gonna do. The only thing above the Supreme Court in American government is an amendment. You go to the Constitution, you get an amendment to get money out of politics. Otherwise, all you're gonna have is wall-to-wall corruption. All right, we'll be right back. You're right in the middle of this podcast. We got another great segment coming up for you. If you'd like the full show, which is actually five segments, go to tytnetwork.com/join. You become a member, you support the show, you support independent media, and you get the whole 2-hour show ad-free every day. Let's go do it now. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Let me read some quick messages and then we gotta get going on to other stories. Eric Swick writes in on YouTube Super Chat, Bird Flock supports Wolfpack, get money out of everything. Okay, thank you, Eric. Mark Keister says, just donate another $100 to wolf-pack.com/stick. That's the specific fund for Wolfpack to use to defeat candidates who vote to keep money in politics. You like money in politics? We'll show you money in politics. Wolf-pack.com/stick. When we did it in Connecticut, the local press, of course, who loves their local politicians, were aghast. They're like, well, you're spending money in politics. God damn right we are. And if you don't like it, vote to get money out of politics. Wolf-pack.com/stick. Thank you. And then finally, King B. Strong writes in, also on YouTube Super Chat. I'm Brian, a TYT member and a volunteer with Cori Bush's congressional campaign in Missouri. Today's my birthday, and I'd love if people could donate to Cori's campaign today. Every bit helps. And it's votecoribush.com. Cori is C-O-R-I. Okay, C-O-R-I, votecoribush.com. Cori Bush is a wonderful progressive candidate who led the St. Louis protests. She's up against another Democratic incumbent. Let's make that happen too. So we're going to fight from all these different angles. And I know what they say, oh, you kids, you don't know what you're doing. We're playing three-dimensional chess. Ask Joe Crowley how his three-dimensional chess is going. Okay, Anna, you're up next.
All right. We have some more news on Kavanaugh, Donald Trump's Supreme Court pick, and also Trump's ties to Justice Kennedy. So let's get to that. NBC News is reporting that Justice Kennedy had some very specific requests from Donald Trump, or for Donald Trump, if he were to retire. And it appears that Trump followed through on his promises to Kennedy, which led him to step down and retire his career as a Supreme Court justice. Now, according to those reports, Justice Kennedy had made Trump promise that he would choose one of his clerks as a replacement for him if he were to retire. And so it appears that Trump has done that, because Kavanaugh did in fact work as a clerk for Justice Kennedy. So there's that. Now, that's based on one source that spoke to NBC, so take it for what it's worth. But it does appear that there have been incredibly close ties between Justice Kennedy and Donald Trump, Donald Trump's family. So let's talk about that.
Before you get to that, Anna, I just want to be clear about a couple of things. I think they have excellent evidence that Kennedy and Trump made a deal. Now, whether it's an illicit deal is a different question, okay? But so Kennedy got three of his former clerks instituted as federal appeals court judges earlier, okay? But you could say, hey, look, a lot of people have clerked for Anthony Kennedy, and there's a lot of federal courts, so that's not that persuasive. It's just a data point, right? But did you know not only Kavanaugh, but Gorsuch were also Kennedy clerks? Mm-hmm. So now you're going to tell me that two out of two Supreme Court picks under Donald Trump were both Kennedy clerks, and that's just a coincidence. And Kennedy happened to step down when there's nothing wrong with him mentally, health-wise, et cetera, et cetera. And Kennedy and Trump have all this family ties going back that Anna's going to tell you about.
Yes.
So look, if you tell me that it's something corrupt or wrong, that's a different conversation. If you tell me it's a coincidence, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you, and so does Trump.
So I want to start off the discussion about Donald Trump's ties to Justice Kennedy with a video from back in February of 2017. This was after Trump gave his first address to Congress, and the mics picked up a brief interaction between Trump and Kennedy. And so we're going to show it to you. Pay close attention to what they say to one another. So if you couldn't hear that clearly, I don't blame you. So Trump apparently reportedly stopped to chat with Anthony Kennedy, saying, say hello to your boy, special guy, right? So Kennedy's son is part of this elite real estate circle in New York, and as a result has interacted quite a bit with Trump's family, and specifically Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr. So Politico had reported a little bit about this back in 2017. It was foreshadowing, but so much going on, it's easy to miss. They had reported that one back channel is the fact that Kennedy's son Justin knows Donald Trump Jr. through New York real estate circles. Another is through Kennedy's other son, Gregory, and Trump's Silicon Valley advisor, Peter Thiel. They went to Stanford Law School together and served as president of the Federalist Society in back-to-back years. Kennedy's firm, Disruptive Technology Advisors, has worked with Thiel's company.
Yes, so there's a lot of connections here, and Peter Thiel famously supported Donald Trump and spoke at the convention. He's a very successful Silicon Valley financier and investor. And he's a libertarian, a very deeply right-wing Republican. But I think that's the less interesting connection.
Yeah. I'm going to get to the best part. I'm just, I'm working you guys up. You know what I'm saying? Giving you a little taste, and then there's the big shabam.
Here comes the shabam.
I think shabang. Anyway, let me give you the shebang. Now it turns out that there are some financial ties between Deutsche Bank and Trump. And the reason why that's relevant to this conversation is because Justin Kennedy is the former global head of Deutsche Bank's real estate capital markets division. And that was one of Trump's closest business associates. So at a time when banks refused to give Donald Trump any loans because he had gone bankrupt so many times and because he was facing so many lawsuits, Deutsche Bank comes in and they approve a massive loan for Trump. Huh, why would they do that? Now, the very person who approved that loan was Justin Kennedy.
Man. Okay, so look, let me give you all the facts. And so it's a little bit complicated here and it's not clear cut, okay? So Deutsche Bank gives Trump $1 billion at a time when literally no other bank would loan him any money because he'd already gone bankrupt six times. The banks in New York had a term for it. It was called the Donald risk. And they didn't want to take the Donald risk because they're logical businessmen. Deutsche Bank, for whatever reason, decided to give him $1 billion. Now, I don't know why they took a risk on a guy who's constantly does not pay his debts. I mean, that he was famous for not paying his debts. He would brag about not paying his debts. So why would you give that guy $1 billion? Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know why they did it. I do know later, Deutsche Bank was implicated in two different money laundering scandals with, you're not going to believe this, the Russians.
But why are you spreading Red Scare stuff? Okay. Red Scare tactics.
No, yeah. But I'm going to give you all the facts.
Yeah.
Hold on. So the part of the bank that Deutsche Bank used to help the Russian oligarchs money launder. There was two different scandals. My favorite was the one that was called the Global Laundromat. Okay, that's how big a money laundering scandal it was that they called it the Global Laundromat. The other one was called Mirror Trading. They got fined $630 million for Mirror Trading, and Global Laundromat was a bigger scandal. So, but, and this is important, Kennedy's son left Deutsche Bank before those scandals. He was there to give Trump the $1 billion, but he was not there during Global Laundromat or apparently the Mirror Trading scandal. Okay, so if you say he's involved with the Russians, etc., I don't think that doesn't seem to be supported by the evidence.
No one is saying that Justice Kennedy's son is involved with the Russians or doing anything shady with the Russians. But it is fascinating that the very bank that was caught on two separate occasions laundering money for a foreign country is also, it happens to be the bank that loaned $1 billion to Donald Trump when no other bank would do it.
It is entirely possible that these two things
are separate.
Yeah. And let me explain. So Deutsche Bank having to give Donald Trump $1 billion when no one else would, while money laundering for the Russians, which they have admitted and paid fines for,
to the tune of $630 million in one of the cases.
In just one of the cases. I don't believe that's a coincidence at all. Okay, so I think that Mueller and whoever else should investigate Deutsche Bank to no end, find out exactly how the money laundering, if it affected Donald Trump. The Kennedys, on the other hand, look, if he touches the if a part of the bank that says, oh, give money to Trump because later we're gonna do something else with it, okay, then you would investigate that. But it just seems like that's more of a, I know the Kennedys, that he's a good boy because he gave me $1 billion, right? So Trump gets something from the Kennedys there. The second thing he gets is Justice Kennedy resigns under his watch, so he gets to appoint two nominees. Those are, he has very little wins. He has the giant tax cut that he calls a win. It's a loss for the rest of us.
It's a loss for the rest of us and deeply unpopular among the American people. So it's not really a win for the Republican Party or the Trump administration.
But that's how they view it. And that's and the press enables him. And the press says, oh, it's a big win for Trump, right? And his other so-called big win is Gorsuch. When you're president, only the Democrats could blow just naming a nominee for the Supreme Court, right? I don't know. Again, those are not to me like giant wins, but it matters. It does, definitely matters. So he now, if Kennedy resigns when he doesn't have to, then Trump gets to pick two Supreme Court justices, and it's a big win. Especially now, this is fair for his evangelical voters that voted overwhelmingly for him, and so for his reelection, they're going to remember that he got to pick two very conservatives. So Trump gets those two things. What does Kennedy get? Kennedy, as we explained to you before, he wants all of his former clerks to be the top judges in the country. So he gets three appellate court judges and two Supreme Court justices that he trained that are his boys. Man, those Kennedy boys, they're doing well, whether they're his literal sons or his clerks. So both Gorsuch and Kavanaugh are Kennedy clerks. So that's what Kennedy gets. That's a deal. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the Russians or the money laundering.
Right.
It's just that the intersection happens to be Kennedy's son who gave Donald Trump the $1 billion, and hence they have a good relationship already. They already had a good family relationship, and then Donald Trump Jr. also knows Kennedy's son, etc.
So what I want to say more than anything is, look, even if there's no wrongdoing on a legal level, right? Like, let's say no one did anything illegal. What I took away from all of these developments is that Donald Trump is the swamp. Donald Trump has been swimming in that swamp his whole life. And so it's all about who you know, it's all about the connections. The Trump administration, Trump specifically, has been urging Justice Kennedy to retire since he got elected. And it's all because he wants that win. He wants the ability to select another Supreme Court justice. And so they already knew each other. They already had these ties. A lot of people, most people, didn't know that they had those ties. And so while we're sitting here analyzing the situation and trying to decide, you know, who is Trump going to pick next, you know, as if it's going to be some sort of wild card, nothing's a wild card when it comes to people who have been swimming in that swamp together their whole lives.
And this is why people will get skeptical of the elites and the establishment and those circle of people who are very powerful and already know each other. My God, if a Democratic president had done something similar and had all these connections and he had gotten $1 billion from this guy's son, what do you think the right wing would say? Oh, the Illuminati. And the answer is not that complicated. It's simpler. Powerful people know each other and they do favors for one another. They get richer, they get more powerful, we get screwed. It's a relatively straightforward formula. And Justice Kennedy, for all of the decisions where he was moderate and it did make a difference, and there are really important ones, has absolutely pulverized his legacy by engaging in this. What I mean, I'm not, forget the Russians, I don't mean that. Just this regular old corruption where you scratch my back, I scratch your back, I get whatever I want. And now the guy who wrote the Citizens United case and destroyed our democracy, and that was Kennedy, gets to put two of his lackeys in who will never ever reverse Citizens United, who will allow corporate power to dominate us for decade after decade. Both Gorsuch and Kavanaugh are young and they can serve as much as 4 decades on the bench.
That's right. And while there is a lot of emphasis on what this means for reproductive rights in America, that is important, but I would argue that the media is to some level on purpose avoiding the bigger issue, which is how corporate power will benefit from this.
Well, some reason for that, because the media
is part of the corporate power
owned by multi-billion-dollar corporations. So a lot of on that issue. And hey, by the way, Democratic senators, you really want to fight? Keep asking them, do you really think corporations are human beings? Really, really, do you believe corporations are human beings? And do you think they should, are they endowed by their do they have inalienable rights endowed by their creator? We're their creator. I thought you were a good Catholic, right? I mean, you can go on and on. You can shred them on that. My guess is that they'll barely touch it.
Yeah. We got to take a break. When we come back, I promise there actually is some good news today. So we'll get to that.
All right, back on a Young Turks. Just a couple of comments for you. Elliot writes in on YouTube Super Chat, Trump wanted to drain the swamp so he could get out of the bottom of the swamp. That's a good, interesting theory. If you were at the bottom of a swamp, you might want to drain it too. Pete McEnroe says, for the first time in a long time, Donald Trump kept a promise to someone.
Yeah, that's actually very true.
Anthony Kennedy, what's your secret?
Yeah.
But I don't know if you're Patrick McEnroe. You could just write it out. It's okay. But anyway, that's a great point, and I hadn't thought of that. That's true. The one time he keeps a promise. Why? Because he's going to get something in return.
Yeah, and something huge in return.
Right. Not. I mean, it's such a giant win-win for Trump. Because not only is it a guy that he gets to appoint another Supreme Court justice, mm-hmm. but on top of that, it's a guy who says, you should never prosecute the president. He's like, how do I get this lucky?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, anyway, since that's such a good point, t-shirt for you, shop tyt.com for TYT merchandise, but thank you for participating. By the way, as I told you at the beginning of the show, we got a fantastic post game for you guys today. It's gonna be super fun. I'm gonna explain some of the old school TYT references.
Oh, ooh,
okay.
That is exciting.
You're gonna love that post game.
Yeah.
So that's for the members, so tyt.com/join. To become a member. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. A federal judge has rejected a Justice Department request to change or get rid of something known as the Flores Settlement, which restricts immigrant trial detention to 20 days, maximum of 20 days. The Trump administration is not in favor of that because they would like to detain children with their parents in detention centers for extended periods of time, indefinitely. So in the ruling in federal court, California Judge Dolly G turned down a US Justice Department motion to modify a 1997 settlement, again, it's known as the Flores Settlement, to allow the government to keep underaged migrants in detention alongside their parents. In her ruling, she wrote the following, that there is no state licensing readily available for facilities that house both adults and children. So this hasn't been done before. So these facilities don't exist. The facilities that are being proposed are not licensed to do this. And also, she refuses to allow for children to be detained for longer than 20 days. She also writes that the administration's argument that parents won't show up to court if they're released does not support a blanket non-release policy. So why is that? She refuted the administration's arguments, noting that, for example, 86% of family detainees who have been released attended all of their court hearings. Now, some of them don't. That is a legitimate concern. 86% is a pretty high percentage, but for those who don't appear in court, that is a problem. I will acknowledge that. But you can come up with better ways of monitoring these individuals, for instance, using an ankle bracelet, rather than using taxpayer money to detain them indefinitely.
An ankle bracelet's a little bit cheaper than housing them for months at a time. And of course, the conservatives are always over the top. They're like, oh, why would they ever show up? Nobody's gonna show up. No, it turns out 86% show up for every court hearing. And by the way, I don't know the number for ones that that show up to just some of the court hearings. We all wish it was 100%, but that's actually a pretty great number. And does it really justify the cost and the separation of families or keeping the children in detention centers for so long for that extra 14%?
So I have, it's more of a hypothesis, you know, because it's just, I feel like it's just human nature. I think the reason why the majority of people do show up to their court date is because they are seeking asylum. And so they want to be in the country legally. They want to make their case. They want to prove their case. They want to be in the country and have legal status to be here. And so this idea that, you know, they're trying to trick you, they're just trying to come in, pretend like they're seeking asylum, and then they're going to run away. That's not really how it works or how people think. They want to be here legally. They want to go through the legal route.
So the Trump administration sees this case where they're clearly rule against them. They say, we will not get rid of the Flores settlement like you want, so that you can keep the kids with their parents locked up for a long, long time. So the Justice Department comes out and goes, so what I'm hearing is that we can lock them up for a long time or separate them from their family. No, the judge said the exact opposite. You can't do either one of those things.
So I think that the statement from the Justice Department is foreshadowing, because I believe that what the Trump administration will do now, and again, this is my speculation, but I do have reason to believe this. I think what the Trump administration is now going to do is go back to separating children. And then they're going to blame this federal judge and her ruling. They're going to say, well, it was a judge's ruling, a federal judge's ruling, that we have to separate the children and put them in shelters while their parents are in detention.
In fact, the judge also said what you're alluding to, and that's why it's not much speculation. It's called it a cynical attempt to shift responsibility for immigration policy to the judiciary.
Yeah.
So she did not rule that you have to separate the kids. She just didn't. That's just a lie. So what the Trump administration isn't telling you is a third option. Now, it's an option they don't like and a lot of right wing doesn't like. But there is a third option. It's the one we've always been doing, which is, look, you can't keep kids for longer than 20 days in a detention center because they're kids. And it's barbaric to separate the families. So you release them, either hopefully with an ankle bracelet and good technology, etc., and they come back to court, and 86% of them do. Mm-hmm. Or, by the way, there's one other possibility, is that you hire a lot of judges, not the insane number that Trump keeps throwing out there, about 5,000 judges.
The made-up number that he,
yeah. But yes, a couple hundred judges, yes, it costs us more money, but you process all of those families in under 20 days. You can do that, it would cost more money. Right? So I would then turn it back to the Trump administration and go, which one do you want to do? You want to spend a little bit more money and make sure that everybody's processed in an orderly way so you're not detaining kids for over 20 days? Or do you want to say they're free to go with an ankle bracelet, but they're going to come back, and again, they get removed from the country once the proceedings are over if it turns out that they shouldn't get asylum? And so if they tell you that they don't have other choices, not remotely true.
Of course it's not. And just to add a little more to the story, a federal court ruled that Donald Trump had to reunite migrant children under the age of 5 by a certain date, a deadline. And Trump did not reunite those children with their parents by the deadline. They asked for an extension. They have received the extension. But we are now learning that the federal government did not keep track of whose children belong to whom. You see what I'm saying?
Like
they didn't keep record of it. So part of the reason why they're not able to meet the deadline is because they didn't care to track the children to the parents properly.
There's at least 102 kids under the age of 5 who now don't know where their parents are, and their parents don't know where their kids are. So they went into court today and said to the judge, sorry, we don't have them yet. And so the judge had to extend the deadline because they just don't know which parents go with which kids. And what did I tell you would be the defining trait of Trump's presidency? Sheer incompetence. It's not an accident that he went bankrupt 6 times. Has no ability to manage anything and doesn't care to. He thinks, what do I care about those kids? Oh, they're under the age of 5. Some of them are babies.
Right.
And so they're not going to be able to find their parents. Whatever. Whatever. In his mind, they're animals. And they shouldn't be here in the first place, so they had it coming. And what does the right wing, including members of his administration, say? So, well, it's the parents' fault. They shouldn't have come, so now they don't have their babies. That'll serve them.
Okay. Moving on to some other news. Trump is set to meet with NATO allies later this week. In fact, he will be meeting with them tomorrow in order to discuss the future of NATO, and many of our allies are concerned about that because Trump has been incredibly combative and has accused some of our allies of not paying their fair share into the program. So as he has prepared for the Brussels summit or the meeting with NATO allies, Trump has accused Europe of exploiting the United States and hinted that he might play the role of agitator at NATO, sowing disagreement among allies. So
while, I wonder who that would help.
Well, it's amazing because, like, while he's facing this Russia investigation, regardless of what you believe, you know, Trump's role was in collusion, whether or not you think there's any legitimacy to that investigation, you have to at least admit that Trump constantly, you know, saying positive things about Putin is a bad idea. And in the context of this NATO story, he keeps saying very nice things about Putin. He keeps complimenting him and talking about how it's easier to talk to Putin than it is to talk to NATO allies. Now, I have videos that I want to share with you to prove this point. This is all part of the same press conference. First, let's take a look at what Trump has to say about our NATO allies.
NATO has not treated us fairly, but I think we'll work something out. We pay far too much, and they pay far too little. But we will work it out, and all countries will be happy.
So, all countries will be happy. Oh, good to hear.
He keeps conflating, you know, trade issues with international security issues.
Yeah. And so an expert from Europe said it feels like a mob shakedown. Now, we could give you security if you were to pay the right amount. Right now, but I want to be clear, there's two different issues here. Tying in exactly right what Anna said, tying in security with the tariffs is a terrible idea. On the other hand, there is one thing he is right about. So the rest of the allies are not putting in what they promised they would put into NATO. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to put pressure on them to pay their fair share, I get that. And others might disagree, but I understand that. I would hope that there's a constructive way of doing that. And I know that you would have to do a little bit of stick along with carrots to get them to do that. And then there's a destructive way of doing that. And of course, we present to you Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Bull in a China shop.
So let me give you the specifics on that, because I agree with you that Trump is right in wanting to hold some of these countries accountable for holding up their promise. Back in 2014, our allied countries said that they would spend about 2% of their gross domestic product for NATO. And that has not happened. So he specifically calls out Germany. Germany promised to do this, and they are not doing it. In fact, the new promise that Germany has made is that they will pay about 1.5% of their gross domestic product into NATO by 2024. So I get it. I understand the frustrations of Trump, and you know, credit where credit is due. However, the way he handles it is so incredibly destructive. A smart negotiator does it in a way that doesn't further alienate the country from our allies. And that's exactly what he's doing. He does it in a very public way. He runs his mouth on Twitter. He runs his mouth in these press conferences. These are your allies, so negotiate with them. If you have friends, just think about it on a small scale where you're having some sort of financial issue with your friends. Your friend promised to pay 50% of the dinner, but didn't end up doing it. Are you gonna go on social media and be like, yo, Rod is not paying me the fair share of that dinner, I can't believe Rod. And then you go and turn around and talk to Rod's enemy, who also happened to be your enemy at some point, and you're like, hey, you know what, Stacy? I love you, Stacy. You're so much easier to talk to, Stacy. In a public way, that's what children do. You put Rod aside and you say, hey, come on, we made this promise, let's make it work, right? Yeah.
But even if you said, no, kick Rod's ass, he owes me the money, I don't care, I'll humiliate him publicly. Congratulations, that's who you are. But anyway, that's fine, okay? But then the extra step is where he you can't possibly defend him. So they're saying that he now is considering, they're worried, NATO's worried that he's gonna come in there and go, we should lift the sanctions on Russia for taking Crimea from Ukraine. Well, okay, wait a minute, but that doesn't have anything to do with paying their bills. That's just helping Russia for no reason at all, right? Mm-hmm. And then he called Putin after his so-called win in the elections where he didn't let his opponents run against him, an obvious sham election. Mm-hmm. Every one of his aides that works in a very right-wing White House were like, Mr. President, do not congratulate him on the victory. It was a sham election. So he gets on the phone and he goes, some stupid people told me not to congratulate you. Oh, God.
Yeah, he called Trump. This is in March of this year. And went against his aides, which, okay, fine. But then proceeded to badmouth his aides and call them stupid people while talking to Putin.
So, again, it's not even just NATO and it's not for a specific purpose. He even attacks his own friends within his White House, his own staff within the White House, and says, Putin, don't worry. I'm not on the side of my own staff or my own allies. I'm on your side. Congratulations. Great job on that election victory. Probably he thinks, hey, can you teach me a lesson or two about how to fix elections?
No, I mean,
I make sure that none of my opponents run against me like you do, Vladimir?
His aides urged him not to call Putin and congratulate him for getting reelected, right? Because it was a sham election. I mean, for Trump, like, where's the flaw there?
Yeah, he's like, well, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Like he said about Kim Jong-un. He says, when he says to do something, his people stand up. I wish they did the same thing here. Well, the way that Kim Jong-un does that is by putting them in concentration camps if they don't stand up.
Don't give him any ideas. Okay, so now, in the same press conference, as he is berating our allies, he moves on to Putin. Now, he is going to meet with Putin a few days after the meeting with NATO. And here's what he has to say about his upcoming conversation with Putin.
So I have NATO. I have the UK, which is in somewhat turmoil. And I have Putin. Frankly, Putin may be the easiest of them all. Who would think?
Yeah, what do you mean you would think? It's been really easy for you to talk to him for all this time that you've been helping him money launder. So super, super easy for you to talk to him. He's your buddy, right? I mean, that's the thing about Trump. No tact, no subtlety, no nuance. He's like, I mean, Putin's easy to talk to. My allies, I want to rip them apart and make sure they can't defend themselves against Putin. But Putin I really like. Oh, did I say that out loud? Yeah, you did. You basically did. Right? You said the Putin part, you attacked our allies. If he's not the Siberian candidate, Putin's got to be thinking, how did I get this lucky? An American president who loves me for no reason, wants to lift the sanctions, wants to give me Crimea. They say, oh, they speak Russian anyway, makes my case for me and rips my enemies to shreds who are supposed to be his allies. If it's not some sort of cooperation, Putin's the luckiest guy in the world.
So I'm going to reference a story that Cenk did earlier, but I can't stop thinking about it. So Kavanaugh, who is Brett Kavanaugh, who is Donald Trump's pick for the Supreme Court, had written back in 2009 that in 2009, he believed that a sitting president should never be indicted. A sitting president should never be investigated. His litigation should be deferred for when he is no longer in office. And the reason why he believed that that should be the case is because he was worried that if a sitting president were to be indicted or investigated, that they would not be taken seriously on an international scale, that other countries wouldn't take that person seriously. Like that keeps playing over and over again in my head. Donald Trump is not taken seriously. It doesn't matter if he is being investigated, doesn't matter if he's ever indicted, none of that matters. He does not know how to negotiate. He is a puppet for Putin. I don't know why, but time and time again, he's proven that he will defer to Putin. He will do exactly what Putin wants. He will say favorable things about Putin, but he'll never say nice things about allies. I mean, it's fascinating to see what's going on. He's not taken seriously because he doesn't ever hold up his part of the deal. He pulls out of deals and he is completely unpredictable.
Lifelong criminal. Now he's going to have a Supreme Court justice likely that says, doesn't matter. You should never investigate a president on anything. Even though Kavanaugh is the one that investigated Bill Clinton about oral sex. And he was proud to, and he said it was an abomination and they had to get Clinton. While, by the way, he was should have been busy getting Osama bin Laden. But no, that was not a national security concern. But Trump doing deals with Putin, well, you can't keep him from doing that. You gotta make sure he does that corruption. These guys are the worst. We gotta take a break, guys. When we come back, Trump pardons people to support white nationalism. It's unbelievable. All right, we'll talk about it when we return. Thanks for watching or listening to this free version of the Young Turks podcast. You know that the full show is at tytnetwork.com/join. If you become a member, you get the full show ad-free. We love you for watching or listening. Either way, there's going to be a new free podcast tomorrow. You can keep on doing that. But if you want to get the full show ad-free, tytnetwork.com/join. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.